This is John Byrne, the lead pastor here at Grace Fellowship, and this is the Grace Deep Dive Podcast, recorded deep in the depths of the Grace Fellowship basement here in Lakewood, Colorado. We dive a little deeper into Sunday's sermon.
I'm Johnny McCloskey, and I'll be your host on the Grace Deep Dive Podcast. Welcome back. We're so glad you're here with us today. I hope you're having a good week. I hope it's going well wherever you're at, whether you're in your car or at home, doing dishes or hanging out, doing chores. We're hoping you're doing well.
Okay.
You know what? That was a great transition there because you just laughed, John.
I did laugh.
You laughed at my joke, which...
Don't tell people
I'm
that.
I'm going to read into this.
Now you think you're funny.
I think I got... You know what? I think I'm funny. I'm feeling good. I think I have some jokes coming for us.
Oh, gosh.
But yeah, so we're still in the series...
Pray now.
Faith and doubt. Yes. I doubt it's going to go well. Faith and doubt. And last Sunday, you talked about God's last laugh. And just kind of a quick recap, just talking about Abraham and how Sarah, they laughed at God.
Yeah, they did.
You don't want to do that.
No, don't laugh at God.
But they laughed at God because God said, Abraham, you're going to be a dad pretty soon. You're going to be a dad to not just Ishmael, because he already took it into his own hands, but you're going to be a dad to the promise that I told you about earlier,
right,
Isaac,
right,
by next year. And so since he's going to be a dad and there's laughter and stuff, I grabbed a dad joke I would like to read real quick to you.
I'm not sure how this is going to go.
I know you're not excited about it, but I know all of the listeners are very excited right now.
Okay, all right.
Get your pen and pencil. Here we go. So today my son asked me, can I have a bookmark? And I burst into tears. 11 years old, and he still doesn't know my name is Brian.
I don't get it.
Bookmark. Mark. Mark. He's like, I have a book. Mark.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's a dad joke for you there.
There's a dad.
It was great. You know, you probably had to read it. You probably had to be there.
It's a courtesy laugh,
if
right?
If you laughed while you're listening to this, that means you're just more intelligent than most.
Is that right?
Yeah, so congrats. And if you didn't, I don't want to say, but something happened.
Wow.
So anyways, I had a few more dad jokes for you guys, but John, he edited me down to just one.
Yeah, and what scares me is that's the one you picked.
That was a good one.
Okay.
Okay, I want to do another one, but I won't. I did have an epiphany today.
Okay.
The epiphany is when you came and told me that I was saying theophany wrong.
Well, it wasn't that you were saying it wrong.
Yeah.
It was that you're using the wrong word.
I was using it wrong, yeah.
Yeah.
I had written a question. Full disclosure. Go ahead, John.
So behind the, you know, kind of behind the microphone, kind of inside baseball kind of stuff here, you know, so Johnny writes all the questions, and part of the reason for that is because I don't want to write the questions. I want somebody who listened to it to kind of respond and ask questions. But anyway, so Johnny writes all the questions. He sends them to me, and I usually just glance at them. I don't really read them in detail, but you know, I always kind of glance at them, make sure that he's not going to totally catch me off guard. Do I need to go do a little research or something?
Or my theology's not way off or something.
So he writes me the questions. So he sent me an email with all the questions in them.
And in there, I was asking about the epiphany of Christ. And
right, the epiphany of Christ. It's
really.
Theophany.
It's theophany. Yeah, so my epiphany was I was saying it, using the word incorrectly.
Using the wrong word,
yes.
Yeah.
So going into that question then, you mentioned the theophany this week with the three men that approached Abraham.
Yeah.
Can you explain what an theophany is and give us some other examples where this might have occurred in Scripture?
Yeah, well, And to be clear, there's a couple different terms that are used. So theophany, with it means God, right? So theos in Greek means God, and theophany, and that's where that comes from. And so basically what a theophany is God taking on a human form or physical form. And so what happens in this text is you kind of have an example of that. And I think there's actually a clue in this week's sermon that is certainly the case. But anyway, so that's what a theophany is. But there's also Christophany, which is Christ, you know, in physical form, and I don't know that we have that here. But basically, yeah, God is taking physical form. We see that in some other places. We see that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and in when they're thrown into the fiery furnace, and there's this fourth figure, which people usually suggest is a Christophany, you know, that was the eternal divine Son of God in physical form in the fire with them. And so we have that, and there's other places, you know, Jacob wrestling with God would be a theophany of some some kind. You know, so there's other places where this takes place, where God presents himself in physical form in one way or another. And so we have that in this text, where God actually presents himself in physical form in these three. He's one of the three that approach Abraham. And so it's kind of interesting, but you hear have God speaking directly to Abraham in a way that I don't know anybody who's quite experienced that, but
it's
maybe,
pretty,
maybe there's somebody out there. I don't know.
Pretty. Yeah. Yeah. You never know. And sometimes it's always like, maybe you're not of sound mind. Sometimes you see those people, you're like, yeah, okay. I don't know if I believe this one.
Right.
You know, I'm not a big wrestler fighter. You know that I'm a lover, not a fighter. Mostly I'm just lazy. So that's fine. I just don't like my heart rate to go above 90. But my question for you is, just more of a joke, but if God walked into the ring where you're fighting, would you wrestle with him, John?
Would I wrestle with God? Well, you know what happened to Jacob, right? Yeah. Like he ended up limping for the rest of his life. Did, so. Yeah. I would try to avoid that. As a matter of fact, I don't even want to do jiu-jitsu with my jiu-jitsu professor because I'm scared I might be limping for the rest of my life.
For the rest of your life.
So God probably, you know, I'd probably try to avoid that.
He knew the move. He knows the move exactly. Right. He just touched his hip, I think.
He just touched his hip,
that's
right.
That's pretty powerful.
Right.
All joking aside, though, we do kind of wrestle with God, I think, a lot. More of the, not the straight head-to-head, you know, whatever, but
intellectually,
or emotionally.
In or things like that,
Which kind of leads us to the next question. How sometimes God may have a plan for our lives, and you know, it's not always scripted out. We don't always see exactly what he wants, per se. But sometimes we'll take control of what we think God's plan is for life and do things on our own. Have you ever seen, you know, we kind of go rogue in that sense. Have you ever seen how God responds to you when you do that or when others do that? Have you kind of seen some examples of that?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's really hard, I think, on an individual level for us to know, because God gave Abraham a promise in a way that he doesn't usually give to us, right? We don't usually have these experiences where God speaks to us in this way and says, "Hey, I promise this, I promise that." You know, so for us, it's a little bit different in the sense that we don't have that. But what we do have is we have God working out purposes in our lives that he's either laid out in scripture, right? And so we have things in scripture that teach us how to behave, how to act, how to do things that honor him versus dishonor him. And so a lot of times what we do is not so much this plan as in this covenant promise that he's given to us in the same way that he's given it to Abraham, but we have these things laid out in scripture. God says, live this way, behave this way, trust me, have faith in me. He's laid out his redemptive plan, right? Where we have creation, sin, fall, and redemption and glorification, kind of those four categories that play themselves out in scripture. And we're in the middle of that. We haven't seen all of it, but we've seen God promise it. And so we need to trust in that there will be a glorification at the right time. When the fullness of time has come, to use kind of a biblical phrase that we find in places like Hebrews. But so we look at scripture, we go, okay, scripture teaches me to do this, to live this way. And what we do is we go, well, that doesn't make any sense. So a good example of this is there's a lot of people in the church who will look at sexual ethics, for example. And what scripture teaches and what we teach people is sex is for marriage. That's how God designed it. And we need to follow that, right? But a lot of times what happens with that is people in the church decide that, well, that doesn't make any sense. So we're gonna live together, have sex and all those things before we get married. And they don't trust God. They come up with their own plan because that makes sense to them. But they are misunderstanding or deciding to reject God's design, right? And so that's the kind of thing that we do. Or in our business decisions, we make business decisions. Instead of making them according to biblical principles, we will follow certain practices of the world when they contradict scripture or when they, and we'll do that instead. And we pay for that. God wants us to follow his ways and to do the way he designed it to be. And when we do, we'll be blessed in that. I'm not saying we'll be financially blessed, but we'll be blessed in that because of our character.
John, I kind of just had an epiphany.
Oh, not a theophany.
I don't think so.
Because you're not able to have a theophany.
I'm not able to, no, huh?
Because you're not God.
Yes. Okay. I had an epiphany. I think sometimes we really do. You know, we've been talking about this before on the podcast that people want to know what God's will is, what his plan is. And sometimes it's not very clear. And I think sometimes, you know, we want to have goals that honor God.
Yeah.
And I think kind of what you're saying here too is, the end is to honor God in what we do. It doesn't have to be specific. You know, it doesn't have to be a certain purchase or a certain job or a certain whatever place we send our money to or whatever. But it's the means of how we get to that end is what's important. We want to honor God through every step we take to get to that end. We want to make sure that's God-honoring and you know, holy and you know, what's best for us.
That's right.
So it really is the plan to get there, the route to get there is the means to that end. It needs to be God honoring.
Yeah, the end does not justify the means. Mm-hmm. Right. God is concerned about the means, as concerned about the means as he is about the end, maybe even more.
Yeah.
And that's I think is what you're driving at, is that God cares about things other than just what the results are. So we can do things and we go, oh, well, the end was good. You know, we accomplished some great thing. Yeah. But if you lacked
integrity
as you did it, then God cares about that. As a matter of fact, he probably cares about that more than whatever the result was.
What you accomplished.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. There we go. So really the goal is just to honor God in the means.
Right.
That's the plan. Well, I think the reason why we do tend to take over a lot of times, aside from the fact that we are sinful people and we desire the easier way a lot of times.
Right.
But sometimes when it comes to timing, you know, we have this goal, we have this plan, and even we might even feel that God has given us this desire, but the timing is not in our timing. And so that's where I think the problem comes. And we want to take over, and we see that in the story as well. Why do you think we struggle so much with God's timing?
You know, I think there's a lot of reasons. I don't know that there's just one. You know, some of it's just general impatience. You know, I think as you get older, you struggle with God's timing sometimes because you start to look at life and look at the number of years you have left to do the things you want to do, to accomplish the goals you want to. At least I do.
I'm totally in my midlife crisis already.
Yeah.
Ahead of time.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And so I think sometimes as you get older, that becomes even more of an issue because you start to think about, well, I only have this many good years left, however many that is, you know.
Even Abraham and Sarah, when they're older.
Exactly. Yeah. That. And that's exactly what they were struggling with, right? Like, how are you going to give me this? How are you going to give us this kid? We're way past the time for this.
Yeah, the womb is naturally closed.
Yeah. There's physiological issues with this, God, you know. And so I think that's a lot of it. I think impatience can be that. I think humility can be part of that too. You know, a lack of humility, to be more specific, because we want to accomplish things on our own and do things on our own power. And that, I think there's a human, kind of a natural human desire to want that. And I understand that, and I think God understands that to some level, but we need God. And we need to rely on him, and we are fallen creatures. And so I think sometimes it's that, you know, I think there's a lot of reasons, you know, we don't understand, right? Like I talked about Isaiah 55:8, you know, where it says God's thoughts are higher than ours. You know, our ways are not his ways, that kind of thing. And we lack perspective. We don't understand. We think we see opportunity, and God is still waiting for something to happen, or whether it's in our character or in our circumstances or whatever. He sees the big picture, and we see just a small sliver of it. And so I think some of it's just a lack of perspective and a lack of the ability to see the full picture.
I think also to add to that too, you know, and I think you mentioned this on Sunday, or I was talking about it with somebody else, that we are trained, and we train our kids to be independent. And that's a good thing. And even if you look at the story of the talents, mm-hmm. you know, God or Jesus gives, or the whatever gives them the talent, not the whatever, but not Jesus, but in the parable,
yeah.
the master, the what if you can help me out here.
The master gives the three talent. Servants different numbers, amounts of talents, right?
And what their job
sums
was.
Sums of money.
Yeah, and the job of their job was to reproduce it.
Yeah.
And it was almost like there was a release of just say, go do it, and I trust you, and use your wisdom and your know-how to make this bigger. And
right.
They're kind of independent at that point. They're being creative. They're using different ideas, and they're trying to make it, you know, increase the talents. And or the money or whatever it was.
But the money came from the master in the first place, you know?
Yeah, it came from him. But there's that sense of like, okay, how do I accomplish this plan? How do I do this thing? And there seems to be even a point where God does desire for us to use our mind a little bit.
Right.
And
absolutely.
To be risky in some ways, or yep. to take some chances. So I mean, so we have that with the timing situation and the plan and the means to the end. But we still have to make sure that we're dependent on God. We're relying on Him. We're asking Him, and if He's part of that, like if He's going to contribute some piece to it, then we have to really wait on it. Or if we decide, well, maybe this isn't the right time, and I got to figure out something else. But I got to check it with God first. I got to, you know, kind of like with Abraham. I always think about that when he left to go to Egypt because of the famine. I mean, that was such a brilliant, you would think, idea. We don't have any food. There's nothing here, you know. But the problem was he didn't ask God first. But that was a great idea to go to Egypt.
Yeah. Well, you would think normally, right? Mm-hmm. And probably a lot of people were doing that at the time. You know, it was there was probably lots of people heading to other places because of the famine and that kind of thing. But and I don't know that, you know, I think when we need to check with God, I think we need to be careful about what we mean by that. I don't think we always need a divine word. And I'm not even sure that Abram at the time needed that when, you know, with the Egypt thing, all he needed to know was what God had already told him. I've given you this land. OK, so be in that land. You know,
mind would have said, well, yeah, this land, but not right now because we got to go eat. So
right.
I would have left and come back.
Right. But sometimes we already have enough information to make those decisions. And yet we seek this, additional word from God. And I think that can be a mistake sometimes. But I mean, not that we don't pray about it. We certainly do. And if God's willing, we can certainly ask. And if He's willing to give us that, then fine. But He might not. He might be sitting there going, you have enough information, make the decision.
Yeah. Make it.
Yeah.
And me, mister, I'm a decision maker. You know that, John, about me. I'm like, when you say make a decision, I do it right away. I don't even think about it.
6 months later.
Yeah, I do it right away 6 months later. And I gather all my information. So I'm there with you. I understand what you're talking about. Yeah, I'm not a high decision maker.
Yeah, right.
My personality is
why I don't take you out to eat. It's like,
oh my
goodness, what am I going to eat? There's like 8 things on the menu. How will I ever choose?
Oh man, 8 things. That's
way
terrible.
Too many.
Yeah.
I know.
I see 1 or 2. That's why I like In-N-Out so much.
That's right.
You got one burger, figure it out.
It's like a 6-hour process.
It is. It's still confusing for me. You said something that was kind of cool. I'm a big fan of this. It's that character trumps happiness.
Yeah.
That God cares more about your character. He's more interested in our character than our happiness.
That's right.
What are some negative connotations that may result from this statement?
Well, I think the rest of the world, I see this a lot in my interactions outside the church and even inside to some degree, but a lot outside the church with people who don't have faith, you know, Christian faith, or at least don't have a good understanding of what it means or to be a Christian or what scripture teaches about these things. It's not to say that God doesn't care at all about our happiness. I think He does, right? And Jesus said that, I've come that you may have life and have life more abundantly, which is different from happiness. But people read
abundance is happiness, though. It makes you happy.
On
you,
some level, yeah. But abundance in what way? Like there's, you know, life in a fallen world is just not always going to be happy. It's just not. And God's going to redeem
too
that world
threats,
eventually,
right?
But not right now. What's
that? Too many threats to our own happiness, even.
Including our own ideas of what happiness is.
That's true.
And I think we pursue that. Humanity, people pursue that. They want this happiness. I mean, it's the vacation, right? It's Instagram and Facebook, and people go on vacation. They're putting up all these. Look, here's my feet at the end of my, you know, beach chair as I sit on the beach and watch the waves roll up. And we think that's bliss. That's happiness.
Mm-hmm.
For a moment, maybe. But
not
but,
for me. I'm very fair skinned. I don't like the
right,
sand.
You get a sunburn,
I burn.
Right?
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah.
That's and, actually like a torture for me. I'm anxiety.
Well, me too. I'd much rather go up to the mountains and go skiing. But,
there you go.
But whatever your vision though, whatever your vision of happiness is, we're constantly pursuing it. Oh, I wanna, you know, if I was driving this car for 20 minutes back and forth to work, wow, would I be happy? And you know, I don't care if it's a Lamborghini or whatever it is, it'll be amazing for a little while, but then eventually you're just driving back and forth to work.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just a car, man. It just gets you from point A to point B and not any faster because the people in front of you aren't going any faster either.
And the government won't let you.
And the government won't let you. Yep. And you end up in jail because you're going 150 miles an hour in a 65 zone or whatever. But the point is this, that we pursue happiness because we think that that's what's best for us. But God says, no, there's something more important than happiness. It's character. And what we really find in a lot of ways is that when we allow God to develop our character and we really seek that in the moment we're in, right? We can be in a moment of plenty or in a moment of little. And in either moment, as Paul talks about in Philippians 4, in either moment, we can find contentment, we can find joy, we can find happiness, we can find all of those things when we have the right kind of character as we approach those things. So it's not, in other words, happiness isn't something that happens to us from the outside. It's something that God gives us as he develops our character. And so he's more concerned about our character than the bliss that we might feel in a given moment.
The rush, yeah.
The rush of happiness. And when we find that, we find purpose and meaning in our life. Our why is answered. And then all of a sudden, you know, we can find happiness. But it's a biblical happiness. It's not the happiness that the world talks to us about.
You know, I know a lot of people will say, even in the church too, that, you know, God is always trying to squash our happiness with these rules and regulations,
right.
And you can't do
that's
this.
Not
and,
it.
And even outside of the church, so people don't want the Christian voice to chime in because the Christian voice tells people this is what's best for you. And you know, it's funny when you talked about the speeding on in a Lamborghini. I've done that before. I do that. I drive a Lamborghini, and
it's disguised as a much cheaper
as a
car.
Honda, yeah,
it's a Honda.
It's
whatever.
A Honda Lamborghini. But you talked about how the government won't let us.
Yeah.
Be quote unquote happy because I want to open this thing up and go 200 on the highway, but the government won't let me, and that's unfair. But the reality is the government actually, in a weird way, cares about us and says this is not safe for you. John's rolling his eyes.
Yeah,
but yeah, I remember I took a traffic school class probably 20 years ago, and I learned something very important. They're talking about there's a certain parking lot, a certain like shopping area where they have a sign that says no left turn.
Yeah.
Coming out. And the reason why they decided to put that no left turn in, it wasn't just because they wanted to be jerks or reroute everybody, is because they had enough statistical information over the course of the last few years that there's many accidents when people try to come out of that parking lot turning left. So for our own safety, it's dangerous for us to make that left-hand turn. So the government comes in and says to everybody, hey, look, you cannot make this left-hand turn. We don't want you to. But the reason why is because you're going to get hurt in the end. And so I think that's kind of how God is with us. He says,
right.
You know what, this is, I want you to be happy, of course, but I also want you to be abundant. I want you to feel sin-free. I want you to feel, you know, guilt-free. I want you to live your life the fullest way that I created you. So anyways, that's my little rant.
Well,
so,
no, but you're exactly right. God cares about our character and he puts those things in place so that, you know, as Jesus talked about in the Sermon on the Mount, so that we could have human flourishing.
Mm. So I think we kind of answered this question then, but what are some positive connotations that may result from this statement? The statement that God is more interested in our character than our happiness. So positively.
Well, I mean, if we will take it seriously, if we will stop and realize that God is a loving and good father, you know, we sing that, you know, song all the time about the goodness of our Father God. And if we will take that seriously, I think what ends up happening is we develop good character. And if you have good character, when those crises come, those crises of in relationships and finances and careers and in parenting and in new stages of life and in whatever it is, in all of those things, when those crises come, we're prepared for it. And really, as you look at Abraham, what you see, if you go back to Genesis chapter 12 and you kind of read the story, is that God is constantly working on Abraham's character as he moves on, so that at the right time, God can accomplish these things that he's promised, but it's at the right time. When Abraham's ready, God presents that. And I think the thing that, this might sound funny, but the thing that I get frustrated with for me personally is I always go, man, you know, I want these particular things in life, but I'm not ready for them. And God gives them to me when I'm ready for them. Sometimes he gives them to me too soon and lets me fail. And then I have to kind of readjust, right? And go, oh, I'm not ready. God will give it to me when I'm ready, but it's according to his purposes and his will. And so I think that's what happens. The result is if we are humble, if we will seek to develop our character, seek to develop our spiritual life, to glorify and honor God in all we do, then what the result is going to be amazing, because we'll be in step with God. And, you know, as humans, we get off path. But, you know, as the hymn goes, you know, I'm prone to wander. And so we got to get back on that path and get back our eyes focused on Jesus, as the author of Hebrews puts it.
Yeah, I like that. God is, he is good. He is faithful. He is so enduring with us. Because even correcting us along the way.
I like the word long-suffering. God suffers with us.
He really is. He suffers because of us.
Exactly.
Let's just
right.
be honest. But I love the fact that he does. He's just so patient, and he's constantly using hard times to shape our character so that we can have good means to those ends.
Yes,
that glorify
right.
him. Any additional resources you recommend that you came across while you were doing this sermon?
Yeah, not so much. I think as we think about, you know, what this is, probably the greatest, you know, resource we have is time of self-reflection with Scripture in our hands. And I think that that's a super important resource as we think about ourselves and our character and our whatever circumstances we're in, whether we're in a time of plenty or a time of little, to really stop and reflect on what is God teaching me at this time about me and about him and about our relationship with each other and others. And so I think that's probably the greatest resource to think about as he brings Abraham along in this, that we too go on that journey of understanding where we are in our journey with God.
You know, that's what I love. And the hardest part about the scriptures is that they are living and they're active. And if you open up your that reflection to them and let it come in and examine you.
Right.
Oh man, it is great and it is painful all at the same time, but it is a beautiful thing.
Well, and I think that's the thing. People are scared of the painful part of it, but if you will go through that, you know, if you will allow Scripture and God to speak through Scripture to you about you, then what you'll find on the other side of that is absolutely beautiful. Yeah. Like you said, Johnny.
It's almost like having a tumor or something removed surgically. Yeah. I don't want to go do it. I don't want to do it. I'm scared. I don't like it. But God goes in there and he goes and he takes it out.
Do you think you have a brain tumor again?
I have so much going on right now, John. All right. Big idea, John. What's the big takeaway?
Yeah, I think the big takeaway is this. So I don't, wherever you find yourself, whatever circumstances you're in, again, whether it's a time of blessing or a time of difficulty in your life, recognize this, that our circumstances do not limit God's promises or his power. And so if we will trust in them, then he will work on our character. And as we become the kinds of people that God wants us to be, that we will find that joy and that happiness. So our circumstances do not limit God's power.
Thank you for joining us on the Grace Deep Dive podcast, where we believe in real grace for real living. We'll see you next week.
John, I can't believe you're editing me on my jokes. I have a couple more for you.
What? Okay. Johnny.
They're great.
Three jokes is a lot of jokes.
Okay. Well, you just take one of them, but let me give you some more.
Okay.
All right. I ordered a chicken and an egg from Amazon. I'll let you know. Which came first?
Which? Oh,
all right,
oh my
all right.
gosh.
All right. I have a daughter. I don't have a son from the earlier, but I do have a daughter. So my daughter screeched, "Dad, you haven't listened to one word I've said, have you?" What a strange way to start a conversation with me.
All right. Okay, I actually identify with that one a little bit.
There you go.
But one joke, Johnny, you got to pick one.
Okay, I'll pick one.